This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true. There were a small number of portion markings on, I think, three of the documents.
Secretary Clinton said I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
Now, there was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
Secretary Clinton said neither she nor anyone else deleted work-related emails from her personal account. Was that true?
That's a harder one to answer. We found traces of work-related emails on devices or in Slack space, whether they were deleted or whether when a server was changed out, something happened to them. There's no doubt that there are work-related emails that were removed electronically from the email system.
Secretary Clinton said her lawyers read every one of the emails and were overly inclusive. Did her lawyers read the email content individually?
No.
Well, in the interest of time, and because I have a plane to catch tomorrow afternoon, I'm not going to go through any more of the false statements, but I am going to ask you to put on your old hat. False exculpatory statements, they are used for what?
Well, either for a substantive prosecution or for evidence of intent in a criminal prosecution.
Exactly. Intent and consciousness of guilt, right?
He says nothing, because what happened here is in the game of chess, that's what we call checkmate. And, you know, this is the problem with all this stuff. And I got to tell you, Scott, I was really disappointed with the Democrats. I mean, they, you know, they're not interested in getting down to the truth of the matter. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, they talk about Republicans being partisan. And I understand, look, at you know, it's their candidate. They're going down fighting. They're going to protect and do whatever they can. But here they want to spend their 5 minutes of their time talking about what a great guy Comey is. You know, on the surface, you see the guy and he looks pretty stand up and you want to believe him. But I don't know how he gets to the conclusion that he came to, just even, you know, trying to explain it. And God, I got to tell you, I respect the man, you know, coming to Congress. I mean, at least he didn't obfuscate and do something to say, well, you know, he can't show up or do whatever. I mean, he manned up. He went there and he took the shots and he needed to hear the perspective because, you know, what, I mean, forget about the Democrats. I mean, at least the Republicans and Trey Gowdy and Jason Chaffetz and the rest of them, you know, they're just saying, look, wait a minute. Here's somebody who has been, you know, in government, been around, you know, top secret protocol, you know, at least in the last between, you know, 8 years in the White House, 8 years as a senator, another 4 years as Secretary of State, and to even suggest that somehow she's ignorant of the whole procedure in that, and to be able to give her such latitude, it has to, I mean, you know, whatever James Comey had, maybe even subconsciously in his brain, to, you know, allow room and any kind of understanding for Hillary Clinton to not know. And as we said, you know, several days ago, you know, since when did ignorance of the law become an excuse? You know, when we've been told all our lives that it's not an excuse, but yet for the Clintons it is, and for Hillary specifically, you know, this is just... It's very confusing, and I appreciate Trey Gowdy's questions, pointed questions. I mean, let's not talk about you know, how much he loves and respects him or anything like that. Let's just get down. Let's just ask some quick questions. I would have cracked up if he'd have said he was going to be on a plane ride and he was going to join Attorney General Lynch, you know, just for a little levity, you know, but that's just me. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Our next guest, David Hanna, is back with us to talk about his latest book, Rendezvous with Death, The Americans Who Joined the Foreign Legion in 1914 to Fight for France and for Civilization. David, good to have you back with us. How you doing?
That's great to be back. Doing fine.
Hey, well, in 1914, we had seven American expats drop everything to risk their lives for freedom and democracy in the French Foreign Legion. This is an incredible story that you write about in Rendezvous with Death. What made these expats so significant and interesting for you?
Well, I was inspired by their commitment and their willingness to take that kind of those kinds of risks for really what was really an ideal. Of course, America hadn't been attacked, and we were neutral at that time and stayed neutral till 1917. Mm-hmm. They were hoping to sort of lead by their example. And the seven that I emphasize represented more or less a cross-section of the society at that time, geographically, socioeconomically, and racially. So it was a way to sort of tell the story of America, too. But there were more than the seven. There were approximately about 60 or so that volunteered in those first few months of the war. Mm-hmm. And some of their stories are also interwoven, but that seven formed the core.
Well, it's amazing that you say the seven core, but the other 60 people total that were involved, they understood that this was a fight for liberty. And when liberty is challenged like this, not everybody sees it quite like that, do they?
No, and I think even to a certain degree today, I mean, if you look at the debate among historians, you know, that you could look at France and Germany and Britain, Russia and so forth. They were all big empires and they were had colonies abroad and whatnot. And that's true. But if you look in Europe itself and you look at it in this concept of Western civilization, France was a democracy. Individual rights were respected there. In Germany, you did have elections and you had a Reichstag like our Congress, but it didn't have any oversight over foreign policy and most importantly the military. Mm-hmm. It was a small circle of people around the Kaiser and his generals and advisors, and they were autocratic. Sometimes it was referred to as not a state with an army, but an army with a state. And that was what they felt needed to be stopped, that France was a sister republic. And some even felt there was, you know, they hearkened back to the days of the revolution and Lafayette, Rochambeau, mm-hmm. and they were aware of that, even though, of course, that was many generations previous.
Well, you know, again, just to stay on this and focus on this mental condition that we have, even as you reference here in this country, this casualness about freedom. Freedom is not free. I mean, here we've celebrated the 4th of July, and you know, and it's, you know, it's somehow we get casual about it, and so much is lost in translation with our casual attitude about liberty.
It's interesting. Alan Seeger, who was probably the most articulate of the volunteers I wrote about, he was a poet, but he also wrote a byline for a New York paper during the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had similar sentiments, and he had expressed them at various times in his poem. He's pretty explicit about it. He was a big supporter of Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. Roosevelt was an interventionist. He felt the United States needed to get involved in the war because Germany needed to be stopped, that it wanted to be hegemonic in Europe, even beyond, and America, because we have the Atlantic on one side, the Pacific on the other. You know, we were fascinated by news of the war, but we didn't want to get involved. And there was sort of a, yeah, it was an attitude that, you know, this is not our fight. And, it's not going to threaten our liberties. But as it turned out, both at sea and then later on with a secret offer that the Germans made to Mexico, mm-hmm. Which they were hoping that Mexico could provide some sort of diversion if Germany went to war with the United States. The people realized, it took a while for them to get there, but they realized that, you know, it was our fight. But you're right, and this is something that comes through in the poetry quite a bit. Seeger was a big, he wasn't a very big fan of Wilson. He couldn't understand why Wilson wasn't willing to get the U.S. involved more directly.
Well, I understand war is not a beautiful thing, and nobody wants to go to war. I mean, it's like, oh, I got nothing better to do. Let's go to war today. But the fact of the matter is, like the old saying goes, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you, which tells me that when there is a season of war, which we're told in the cycle of times and seasons, then you better be prepared. If not, you're going to be overrun. And case in point, maybe what America finds itself in today is that we're at war, but nobody is declaring one yet, at least on our side.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it might we could draw some parallels. Of course, we're in terms of dealing with nation states and dealing with non-state actors and all that's a little more complex, I think, what we deal with today. But I see what you mean, that you have to confront these forces that don't respect democracy, they don't respect individual rights, and if you don't, eventually you may have to confront them in a way that you didn't anticipate.
Like that old Pennzoil commercial, David, that says you can pay me now or pay me later, the axiom being that when we pay later, much more is involved and it gets to be costlier. And this is a tough deal. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the generals and those policymakers that are keeping an eye on the national threats. And, you know, the purpose of your book and in looking over history, and I love history, and I love your heart and passion for it, David. It's that so that we will learn from what's happened in the past and what these stories are telling us, and they're speaking loud and clear over the ages, is that, you know, this stuff happens. And you gotta, you know, you have to be prepared. You know, you can't be sticking your head in the sand and hope that maybe it's going to go away, because when it raises its head, war is coming to get you.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson eventually came around to preparedness. You get prodded a lot by Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually
right.
came around.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Roosevelt's cousin, Franklin, had to deal with the same issues I'm sure you were in the 30s.
Exactly.
Early 40s, you know. I mean, it was, you know, so, you know, isolationism, you know, it's a strong part of our streak in our history. And a lot of that goes back, of course, all the way back to Washington's farewell address in 1796, you know, when he urged us to stay out of European affairs. But on the other hand, times change, and situations change. You know, you never step in the same river twice. And,
right.
And so,
well, I think that's part of the challenge in this whole globalistic perspective that we have. I think the challenge is to find a balance. You know, where does globalism, what part does it play in the mix? I think it's a part of the recipe. I don't think it's the recipe. It's part of it, because I think nationalism still plays an important part, and that's an integral element to this whole mix. But I don't think we're quite at that point yet to be able to blend these efforts together. But I digress for just a moment. And I want to stay, you know, get back into, you know, your book and the stories here that you've revealed in Rendezvous with Death. We talked about the one gentleman who was the poet and his indictment on the, you know, the party politics at the time, that, you know, America's resistant to get involved. But for him, it was inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard for him to understand. But on the other hand, to be fair, he was living in Paris starting in 1912. So it was more immediate to him.
He could see it up close and personal.
Yeah,
and a lot of them were like that. They were spending time there, and they had friends who might have been French who were, had been called up. They'd got their papers and so forth.
David, let's pick it up from here because we got to go to a quick break. So excuse me for interrupting you. David Hanna, Rendezvous with Death. More from David right after this. Stay with us, America.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuvina, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuvina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuvina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with David Hanna continues. His brand new book, Rendezvous with Death, The Americans Who Joined the Foreign Legion in 1914 to Fight for France and for Civilization. David, let's get into the stories. You picked some selective men, seven men in Rendezvous with Death, which you said epitomized 60 that joined, this war effort in France.
one of them, going back to where we left off, Kiffin Rockwell and his brother Paul, they were working in an ad agency in Atlanta. They were actually descended from a Civil War veteran who had helped raise them, their maternal grandfather. And they booked passage on a steamship. They weren't even in, Paris. So it was more idealistic in terms of than seeing this as Kiffin Rockwell said, I believe it's the cause of all humanity. That we have to get involved. And he also felt that there was a historical debt as well that was, I mentioned previously. You had John Bowe, really interesting figure. I'm a middle-aged man myself, and he was 45 years old, had four kids.
Oh, wow.
He was the ex-mayor of Canby, Minnesota, on the edge of the Great Prairie. He had served in the Spanish-American War, so, you know, in terms of doing his duty, he'd more than done that already. But he felt he had to go, and just learning about training for the Foreign Legion, what that was like, because that was a pretty rough outfit. Just a 45-year-old man, you know, getting through training is impressive enough. But then he served in combat for two more years. I just thought that was so fascinating. And then there's the African-American boxer, a guy named Bob Scanlon. Of course, at that time, options were limited. And so he decided to go to Europe to try to make his name. And in London and Paris, he had started his boxing career and had some success and was fairly popular. And when the news came of the war, he felt, you know, this is a city and a country that has given me some opportunities here. And, you know, I want to fight, but he wanted to fight with the Americans because these were his friends, Seeger and Chapman and Rockwell. They were Harvard grads like Victor Chapman, David King, and others. These are the two that I focus on. Both of them left behind the letters or memoirs that were really quite insightful. Came from fortunes, really. But, you know, they were willing to put themselves on the line and, you know, serve in the Legion, like I said, which is a very rough outfit. In conditions in the trenches, which your listeners, any of them familiar with World War One, and the images that come to mind were as bad or worse than what comes to mind. It was very rough conditions. And then William Thaw, who was a Yale dropout, another guy came from a great fortune. He was really into aviation. He has been described as a stunt pilot, but I think he was a more serious aviator than that. He served in the trenches in the beginning. There wasn't an opportunity for serving the air until later. Then he helped found the Lafayette Escadrille, which is quite famous.
Well, of course, he went on to become a flying ace, so he was no slouch.
Oh, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. He was a consummate professional.
Well, amazing. So how do you, you know, when you go to research things like this, you kind of refer to it ever so slightly, but I want to get into a little bit more of how you got this information.
Well, it started out doing some, I had a project in mind possibly about the Lafayette Escadrille, which more is known about, has been films, books. So I was reading, and one of the things that it kept getting my attention was the period before the squadron was formed, but when they first volunteered, some of the guys who later on went into the squadron. And then what happened to the guys that that didn't go into the aviation, you know? Like, what about them? They stayed in the trenches. It was sort of the other guys. And that kept coming up, and that interested me. And then, of course, I looked at the sources for some of this material, and then I went back to the primary sources, which were the core, really five of those seven left behind, either letters, a substantial amount of letters, memoirs, or in the case of Alan Seeger, poems, which were described in their experience, trying to convey that to the American public. And that was really the core, but then also periodicals, because as I said, this was being covered in the newspapers. Some of them were even writing bylines in American newspapers. Some of them came from pretty prominent families like William Thaw and so forth, so they were getting covered in the press. And then the French press. This was really quite interesting. I had a researcher that was working with me, a translator, and we delved into the French press, and they were very aware of the Americans, and they fully understood, even though they were small in number, how potentially important they could be in perhaps swaying the United States public opinion to move towards wanting to intervene. And they really appreciated the Americans that fought and fell. They eventually erected a really moving, beautiful monument in the 16th arrondissement in Paris to the volunteers. All their names are listed there, and there's a winged figure bringing together the French and American troops, and above it is a statue sort of not quite clear if it's bidding farewell or greeting you. And it's based on Alan Seeger's visage. The sculptor himself said that, the French sculptor that made it. And they were very aware of that, and they really appreciated it. And so that was really that's the core. And then, of course, you know, going into various secondary sources, trying to get an understanding of the historical sort of context, where it is, like Barbara Cookman, for instance.
Right, exactly. Well, our conversation with David Hanna continues. His book, Rendezvous with Death, The Americans Who Joined the Foreign Legion in 1914 to Fight for France and for Civilization. David, what is the advice, what is the message that's echoing from this era to the 21st century? What would you say?
I think that it's important to understand that if you value things like democracy, individual rights, respect for art, culture, history, that wherever that's being challenged, I think that at least an awareness of it, I think, is important. Not everybody's going to go pick up a rifle and join the Foreign Legion, let's face it. But I think that having an awareness of those things is important. We as Americans, we're very lucky to live in a country that has, we have opportunities here that a lot of people don't have elsewhere. And I think that, you said the casualness. I don't know if casualness is quite the right word, but I would just say having an awareness and caring about what's happening elsewhere. And because we are living in this one planet and, we are all human. And I think that, probably you would agree, or most of the, I would hope your listeners would agree, that things like democracy, individual rights, the arts, these are important things. These are values that we cherish, and they're worth standing up for.
Exactly. Well, that's what happens, is there is a time in life when you have to put your money where your mouth is, I guess, and demonstrate your commitment and be able to defend those things that you respect and honor. That's why I say maybe we're too casual, and we need to understand that these are valuable issues, and unfortunately we don't realize it until sometimes it's too late or we lose it. What was the importance of the French Foreign Legion in the effort leading up to the beginning of the war?
They served abroad. They were sort of expendables because they were foreigners, as I mentioned. And, but they were known for being on really excellent on the attack. That was their forte. And so they were used in a lot of the major offensives right in the beginning to try to break the Germans to achieve the desired objectives. And in some cases, of course, the losses were extreme. And the Americans, because they joined the unit, because it was the only unit they can join without giving up their U.S. citizenship, that's why they got put in this unit. They, of course, were in the middle of all that. So the Second Battle of Artois, the offensive in Champagne, these are in 1915. Of course, the defense at Verdun, almost every French unit was recently cycled through there at one time or another, which was just an absolute meat grinder. And then the great offensive on the Somme, which was predominantly a British show, but the French also were in support of that offensive. That's where Alan Seeger was cut down and died on the 4th of July, 1916.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, we know these soldiers influenced the U.S. government finally in joining the war, right?
They did, and if you look back, at the progression of American involvement, it's not a direct necessarily linked, but I think it's cumulative and incremental.
Right.
And over that time, all of these things play a part in turning American public opinion. Of course, there was a lot of things, like I mentioned, going on at sea that had a lot to do with it as well.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a great read, ladies and gentlemen. I highly recommend you get your hands on his book. David Hanna has been our guest. Rendezvous with Death, The Americans Who Joined the Foreign Legion in 1914 to Fight for France and for Civilization. David is a high school history teacher. You can tell he loves history. We appreciate his passion. And, of course, this book, he's also an adjunct professor at NYU. David Hanna, thank you for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 3 hours just for you, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific time, and all the usual times. Around this planet. Good to have you with us. Bill Martinez here with you. And, you know, many Washington politicians these days are calling for an assault weapons ban on regular Americans. You know, whenever, you know, it's that old saying, whenever you point one finger out, you got three coming at you. I think you're going to be rather surprised. Now, this is, you know, was brought to light by one of my favorite senators, and we miss him terribly, but I'm glad that he's still in the fray of things with Open the Books. And we're talking about Tom Coburn. And he's calling for an assault weapons ban on the IRS and other administrative federal agencies. Yes, you heard that right. Well, let's talk about assault weapons ban on the IRS and other administrative federal agencies. Now, we were warned by Dwight Eisenhower many, many years ago, and many of you probably weren't even born at that time, but he talked about the military-industrial complex. Now, is that complex now moved into government to these federal agencies? Well, Adam Andrzejewski is with us. He's the CEO of OpenTheBooks.com. And Adam, boy, I'll tell you, this story is gaining a lot of traction around this country here.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for having me on the program and for your deep interest in our transparency revolution here at OpenTheBooks.com. So our honorary chairman is Dr. Tom Coburn, and I had the privilege of co-authoring an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on June 17th entitled, Why Does the IRS Need Guns? In that editorial, we broke our national oversight study on the militarization of America. And we found two things, Bill. One, we found that 67 federal agencies spent $1.5 billion on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment over the course of the last 9 years. Interestingly, within those agencies, 53 of them are agencies that you and I would not consider as traditional law enforcement agencies. They're not under the Department of Homeland Security, and they're not under the Department of Justice. They're rank-and-file, administrative, paper-pushing, regulatory agencies that are arming up.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, here we are. We're hesitant to let TSA, you know, have guns, but yet we're going to arm up federal, agency officials now?
Well, you know, that's a very, very good comparison. So obviously the TSA, by the way, they're under the Department of Homeland Security. There is no transparency on the TSA. They will not release how many TSA officers there are, how many have arrest and firearm authority underneath DHS, citing national security exemptions. But what we found was particularly troubling in those regulatory administrative agencies like the IRS, like the VA, like Health and Human Services, like the Small Business Administration and the Smithsonian Institution, for crying out loud. 25 cents on every dollar spent on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment in the non-Department of Defense, non-military agencies were spent by these 53 paper-pushing agencies.
Makes you ask what's going on that we're not seeing.
Well, what we wanted to get our hands around that, Bill. So that led us to the second headline of the report that's gotten a lot of traction. Since 2008, the Department of Justice Statistics has not updated the official counts of federal officers with arrest and firearm authority. So with Coburn, we took a stab at it, and the results, quite frankly, on hard facts are quite stunning. We determined that today there are 200,000-plus bureaucrats with guns, and that exceeds the number of United States Marines at 182,000.
Now, as if Americans aren't already going out and purchasing guns and ammunition, this is really going to, you know, send them to the gun shops. The gun shops are going, hey, this is better than a 60-second commercial here, you know, laying this out. 200,000 more than the U.S. Marines, which is about 182,000, right?
Well, the total federal officers we determined with arrest and firearm authority, the count is now over 200,000, and that number does exceed the number of United States Marines at 182,000.
Unbelievable. Now
we think that number is, we were very conservative with that estimate. We think it could push, you know, 225,000, 250,000, and here's why. We don't actually know the number in the Department of Agriculture of those people who carry. In the under federal statutes, anybody in the performance of their job description at ag can carry a firearm. So we looked at just the very small Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. They disclose that there's 140 special agents that work for that agency. However, their spokesman told us on the record there are actually 1,500 of their employees who carry a weapon. And that's just a small portion of the Department of Agriculture. So the number could actually be a lot higher than 200,000.
This thing's gotten out of control. I mean, what's going on with the doggone animals and the plants? Are they conspiring against us? You know, what the heck is going on that they're such a threat?
Well, I would hate to be an animal or a plant when these guys show up, right? Okay,
Lord,
so one of the things that we determined at the Animal Health Inspection Service, they bought $5 million worth of guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment over the course of the last 9 years. And in 2014, their purchases spiked by five times in 1 year to $1.7 million in a year. But they one of the things that came out on our investigation of them was, to this day, they employ 64 mounted horseback riding federal officers that are armed, patrolling the southern border, looking for wayward livestock. And that makes me feel a hell of a lot more secure, don't you, Bill?
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah, we've got all kinds of illegal immigration, but let's go for livestock.
And there's 64 of them on horseback. Like, that's going to make a difference.
Yes, right. I mean, if anything, they're setting themselves up more targets, because if you're sitting there, you know, sweeping the southern border with the drug cartel and all the other stuff going on, they look at guys on horses with guns and all of a sudden you're a target, and you go, hey, don't shoot me, I'm just looking for cows over here, you know, okay?
I mean, some of the, I mean, most of this stuff, you couldn't even
ridiculous?
Write a book about it because nobody would believe it.
It'd be a novel. It'd be a novel. You know, this is total fiction, Adam. This is not true.
So the IRS
is what they're doing with our money, right? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The IRS is getting a lot of play off our report, but I want to call your listening audience to something that needs a lot more attention. And that's over at Health and Human Services. So in a nutshell, here's what we found over at HHS. You know, they're on health care law now, right? They're special agents. They're off.
Yeah, you will participate in Obamacare. If not, we're going to shoot you, and we got plenty of ammo. So back off.
Well, you know what? That's a fairly accurate statement. Here's what we found. It's particularly troubling. So we found millions of dollars spent by HHS procuring a very sophisticated special operations weaponry system. And then their agents are trained. $1.5 million at least of training went to the same contractors that train our U.S. military special forces. And then we found a brand new state-of-the-art, self-admitted, their words, not mine, command and control center in the Washington Beltway that functions as a crisis center for headquarters of Health and Human Services. This is particularly troubling to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, now we get into this stuff, and of course, Dr. Coburn had pointed this out before he left office, was that you've got so much duplicative waste. I think the last, waste notebook that he put out was like $400 billion in duplicative waste. Now, is this another one of those tentacles of duplicative waste, not to mention the fact overreach? I mean, why are we having Health and Human Services? I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be requisitioning tanks.
Well, and just into Border Patrol and ICE, there was $175 million over the course of the last 9 years of DOD surplus military weaponry transferred, and still our U.S. border is not secure.
Exactly. Well, and you say the IRS is a whole other story as well, and there's so much more to read about. Adam, where can they go for more information on this?
Go to openthebooks.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see all the articles, and you could click on and download a PDF copy of the 55-page report, The Militarization of America.
And I would recommend you bring a cold compress with you and put it over your forehead, because this is going to cause you a little bit of brain bruising. Adam Andrzejewski, thank you so much for being with us. He's the founder of Open the Books on BillMartinezLive.com. 19 before the top of the hour right now. You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-U-S-A.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
What would you think if I sang out a tune?
You know, sometimes we just need friends. You know what I'm telling you? Hey, it's 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with us. And with us, I should say, is Patriots CEO and co-founder Jenny Beth Martin. Always good to have her with us. Jenny, before we talk about John Koskinen and his, I believe, pending impeachment, I want to get your read on yet another lie that's being perpetrated and thrown upon we the people regarding this Benghazi report. You know, it's just, I don't know, you look back over the last 8 years and you say, what happened to our connection with the truth and reality?
This week, as I watched the responses to the Benghazi report and how the Democrats are essentially saying nothing to see here, move along, go ahead. Yeah. This is not the drone you were looking for. It's amazing to me that we are in a place where in our country the left and right are so completely divided that we can't even agree on what is true and what is factual.
Well, because the elites have this idea that we can't handle the truth. I mean, it's Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. You know, we hear them screaming, you know, America is just too stupid that we can't handle the truth. So all this stuff is hidden from us. But, you know, like I tell people, I said, forget about, you know, really understanding the nuance because, you know, you find yourself in a bucket of gum pursuing the truth. And I understand it's kind of like when your children lie to you. It doesn't sit well with you. You don't sleep well at night. It just, you know, there's this disconnect. But here we have on a grander scale, we have the leaders of our country that are keeping us in the dark. We're like a bunch of mushrooms here, you know, as they say. And the manure is just piling onto us. And, you know, when is America going to say enough of this already? Forget about what you say. I can look at the fruit. The fruit of your choices and the decisions you made in Benghazi is that four people died. And now you're trying to tell me that the president, the commander-in-chief, sent out an order to send the military down there, do whatever it takes, and nobody heeded his order? Are you kidding me?
How does this happen? He's the commander-in-chief. They should be immediately doing what he is ordering. And that did not happen. And Leon Panetta was ordering that action be taken. And again, it did not happen. As voters, we have to pay attention to these things and make sure that the person who fills the position as our next commander-in-chief has the respect of the people who are reporting to him. And if he doesn't, that he or she, whoever the commander-in-chief is, terminates those people and gets new people in the positions who will respect his authority.
And Jenny Beth, what people aren't quite connecting the dots here is that on one hand, you know, we sit there and we hear messages or talk to people from the Middle East and go, why do you feel the way you do about us? You know, whenever you guys were in trouble, you needed help and you got hit with some natural disaster, who are the first people to be there for you? You know, who've been people there to protect, you know, your women, the girls in your family? It's been Americans. We've been the tip of the spear when it comes to human rights and that sort of thing. What is it that you perceive about America? And what they perceive about America is the very stuff that this administration and other administrations have done on our behalf representing Americans. And then we don't understand why they want to bomb us when we're visiting their country and all we want to do is help commerce for them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I think that the lack of respect and the whitewashing of facts, it really goes both ways. The Republicans and the Democrats in the House have investigated what happened in Benghazi, and we came out with this 800-page report. The Democrats have a pre-buttle to the report.
Yes.
And then Jim Jordan has an appendix to the report that lays out even more issues, yet nothing still is being done. There's no accountability. It's just wringing of hands, Congress wringing their hands, acting as if, well, things happen, but we really can't do anything about it. We really have no authority.
Well, you know, that's the galling thing. How come you don't have the authority? How come the president can't come up and answer some specific questions? Why is it that Hillary Clinton is allowed to obfuscate and straight arm, I mean, a congressional investigating committee, and we can't get down to it? And this cost us $7 million. Thank you very much. The other Democrats, Elijah Cummings and company, didn't do anything to help the cause either. They were protecting their partisan interest. Now we've got this, what amounts to be an 800-page plus doorstop that we paid $7 million for. That's an expensive doorstop, by the way.
It's very expensive. You know, it's great that Congress has done an investigation and wrote a report, but the report is not the end that we were looking for. It should be a means to the end, but it's not an end. And really that same thinking ties to what we've seen with the IRS as well, and what we've
exactly
seen when they investigated Eric Holder. There are reports and investigations, but no one is ever held accountable. And I feel like it's so important that we realize it's going to be up to us to hold them accountable. It's up to us. And we can't be so distracted by what's happening in the presidential election that we are not paying attention to the races that are further down the ballot.
Exactly.
For House and Senate, and in places where there's still an opportunity to primary an incumbent, that we look at doing that and that we actively work at it. Because if there's no accountability, they'll continue exactly the way they are.
And it is amazing how they do this with impunity. I mean, here you got the attorney general on a plane, a private plane, meeting with the former president. Oh, yeah, by the way, his wife's being investigated, and they're having a secret meeting. And we're talking about burping kids, burping grandkids. Really? You think so? What's all that about?
Yeah, it's...
It's endless, Jenny. That's what I'm saying to your point. I agree with you. I mean, it just, you know, the hits just keep on coming. You know, it's bad rock music, let me tell you. But, you know, speaking of the IRS, I wanted, you know, you and I talked about this before. And, you know, there are certain things that can move pretty quick in our government, but for the most part, there's due process in that. How John Koskinen continues to live, I mean, this guy's like a, I don't know. He's reptilian because he just keeps reproducing. He keeps hanging in there. I mean, this guy needs to go away. What is the deal?
He does need to go away. And I heard one congressman say several weeks ago, well, if we were to impeach him, we don't know who else would fill the position, and that person may be more sympathetic to the public. And I sat there thinking, you know, this isn't a game. It's not all about how things look to the public. It's actually about real consequences. And I get so angry seeing how the people continue to get away with this kind of activity. And yet I realize that the way to make sure that they don't actually get away with it is to continue to be active, to continue to be involved, to continue to demand accountability, and to do all that I can to make sure that voters across this country understand we have an obligation to hold our elected officials accountable. And that's what elections are about. It's our chance to check the power of the elected officials.
Well, maybe what happened in Britain is a portent to what potentially could happen here in the United States, and that is that America finally stands up and revolts against business as usual on the Beltway. We're just sick and tired of this stuff. This whole Washington speak that, you know, we can't replace this somebody because they're so valuable and they're so important and everything else. And so they're really, it's really justified that we have a golden parachute for them. We pay them two times over, you know, the rest of the business sectors around this country because they're just so valuable. Well, if they're so valuable, why are we $19 trillion in debt? Why can't we get the accountability? Why is it that they're not productive like the rest of us who work in a normal job, that if we don't move the needle and we're not productive, guess what? We're fired.
Exactly. That's how it needs to be. And they need to be stripped of their pensions as well. They need to understand that they can't just go in and, oh, if something happens, they still have this pension that they can count on from the federal government that is better than, again, it's like salaries. It's better than what you get in the private sector.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that they're held accountable. I do think what happened in Britain can be something that we can look at and say, okay, you can shake things up. And we have to watch how the people who lost in Britain react, because they're now demanding another election. There's an election day, and whether we like the results or not, we have to stick with them and respect them. It's not endless democracy. We live in a representative democracy. And so we have a lot of work to do between now and November. But I'm not afraid of that work, and I hope you and your listeners are not afraid of it either, because we can make a difference.
Well, Jenny, you know, this is why we're having you on, you know, because we need to hang together here, shoulder to shoulder and back to back in this fight. And as you say, they're not going to go down easy, just like they are in Britain. They're fighting for their very lives there. They had a good thing going for 43 years. And now the people spoke up and says, hey, the party's over. And I believe here in America, you know, elites are about to get a rude awakening in spite of this polling evidence that is coming out, which I question heartily. I mean, they're juicing the numbers here. The government is not giving us straight numbers. I mean, they try to give us these false unemployment numbers. And I don't know what's wrong with, you know, if they've already invested in Common Core at a federal level and the math, the new math that they're working out there, I got to tell them, it's not adding up, at least for me, the way I figure it out. I don't know about you.
Well, it doesn't matter what the polls say. What matters is what happens in November. And between now and then, we have a chance to make a difference. And I encourage your listeners to get involved with us at TeaPartyPatriotsCitizensFund.com to get involved in the elections and to hold the elected accountable. Get involved at TeaPartyPatriots.org.
Exactly, gang. We've been saying if it's going to happen, it's going to be from the bottom up. It's at the grassroots level. That's what the call to action is all about. It's about we, the people, standing up and taking a stand for that which is right and just. Tea Party Patriot CEO, co-founder Jenny Beth Martin has been with us. Jenny Beth, thank you so much. It's
thank
Bill
you.
Martinez. We're live. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
The investment world isn't fair. A precious metals trader buys gold and silver at spot price. You pay his price plus fees, costs, and shipping. But today, you don't. Today, JM Bullion offers a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, no markups, no shipping. Invest in something real, not Wall Street paper. 10 ounces of silver at spot price. Visit RealPriceSilver.com for this limited time offer. One per household, 50 United States only. RealPriceSilver.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
There is an affordable alternative.